Thank you. That was that might become a new tradition. I would not be surprised to hear we're going to hide the eggs under the pillow. That's good. Happy Easter. He is indeed alive. I love that song. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. We can't be quiet. Our God is alive. How can we keep it inside? Good. Good stuff. So, in my life, I've come to rely on some things in this modern world that we live in. For instance, when I turn on the faucet, I expect water to come out. If I choose the other faucet, I expect a different temperature. Okay? I expect the lights to turn on when I flip the switch. I expect there to be power in these little funky little things in our wall. I also expect my pickup to start when I put the keys in the ignition. Yes, I still have a vehicle old enough that uses an actual key. You remember these? Okay. Look, I realize some of these things can fail, right? Some of these things are not given that they're going to always be right, but I've just come to rely on them. I just come to trust them. I don't lose sleep over these things. You could say that I expect these things to be true. How about you? What things in this modern life do you just expect to be true? What do you just rely on? Something that you don't lose sleep over, you just know it's going to happen. If you can think of something like that, tell someone near you. Take a minute or two, just say something around to your neighbor, something you expect, okay? Maybe you have that coffee maker. You expect that coffee to start flowing when you hit the button, right? You guys are a lively bunch. First service, they were kind of scared. So I've heard it said, there's only really two things in life you can expect, death and taxes. Well, we all got through tax season. Hopefully you made it through tax season. But as we're gathered here, spoiler alert, we are gathered in a Christian congregation. And so, as you'd expect, we're big on the Bible. We love the story of the Bible. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And when you look at Scripture, if you have a Bible handy, cover to cover, the Judeo-Christian story from cover to cover is about a God who loves us more than we can possibly imagine. In fact, He loved you and I before we were ever born to make our first mistake. His vote was always yes for us. And so cover to cover, we love talking about the story of Scripture because it's pretty amazing. It's like this unified story that takes a lot of twists and turns, but it's about the God of the universe rescuing us, saving us. He loved us so much that He thought saving us seemed like a good idea. And He had a plan from the beginning. Before any of the planets existed, we find this loving God who wants to save us. And this saving business all started from a single family line. And that family line turned into a nation. And that nation, we know as ancient Israel, that nation was to be a blessing to all peoples everywhere. Well, that nation was great for a hot minute, and then it kind of disintegrated into civil war and foreign conquering, and all these things happened. Things were going sideways. What is God going to do? How is he now going to save His people, His humanity? Well, things broke down, and then we land to the first century. I sped through the story really fast. So if you know the story of Scripture, you're like, he skipped a lot of stuff. Okay, yes. But we get to the first century, and the people of the day, the Jewish people, had a lot of expectations on just how this Yahweh God was going to do this saving business. And they had all kinds of expectations on who would do it. They put all their hope on this Messiah figure, this one who would fulfill all the destiny, and He would save humanity, this Messiah of Israel. He was supposed to be a descendant of the ancient king of Israel named David. So he's like a great, 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 great grandson, far removed, and then you have this Messiah figure. He was supposed to be one who brings jubilee and celebration. He was one who was supposed to be a liberator, a conqueror. He was to be the king above all kings. All that expectation. In fact, he was going to bring sight to the blind, hearing to those who couldn't hear. He was going to bring freedom for the captives. In fact, by the time you get to the first century, the Jewish people would say to each other, hey, things are bad right now, but when Messiah comes, he's going to make it all better. That was their, like, everything was just put on this hope of this Messiah figure who would take care of it all. Talk about a tall order. And so it makes sense. When Jesus began his ministry, he called his followers, his friends, they start following him. Most of those folks were also Jewish. And so they carried all those expectations with them. And then when they started seeing what this Jesus of Nazareth was doing, they started to put things together and they're like, maybe this is the one. Maybe this is all of our expectations are in this one. And he's doing things we've never seen before. He's doing miracles. He's teaching things we've never heard of before. He's starting to check the boxes a little bit. This guy may be, in fact, he may be the one. And when they would hear his teaching, they were like, for sure, this is the one to fulfill all of Israel's hopes. This was the one. He's it. He's going to be this King of Kings. But they had all these expectations, right? Not least of which, and this was the big one, they expected this Messiah to bring Israel back to first world status. They were going to be back on the top, baby. Israel was going to rule the earth. And part of that was also getting rid of these pesky, oppressive Romans. And this Messiah was going to conquer them and bring Israel back to first world status. And everybody that was following Jesus, they started to get this expectation. And some of them even tried to force him into that role. They were going to put him by force. You are definitely going to be fulfilling our expectations. You don't have a choice, Jesus. They were wanting to push him that way. Here's the thing, though. Jesus did come to conquer, but it wasn't a world power. Jesus came to conquer all sin and death and every dark power, to render those powers useless. He came to bring new creation. I'm Pastor Ben. I'm glad you made it today. It's a big day, Easter. And I'm glad you've come to this unexpected day because truly, Jesus did something some 2,000 years ago that nobody, even his closest friends and followers, they didn't expect. And we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to learn how the God of the universe in Messiah Jesus defied all expectations and changed human history forever. And I would say probably changed quite a few hearts in this room already. So let's pause and ask God to speak. Our Father and our God in heaven, you're mighty and worthy. Thank you for the truth of this resurrection that we're celebrating today. Father, may it change us too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So find a Bible or a device. We're going to be in the book of Luke today. It's one of the biographies, one of the four biographies of Jesus. We'll learn about him. But yes, God does the unexpected on Easter, but let's roll back the story just a little bit, even from the very beginning, to get the full impact. Look, God, our creator, he spun all the universe into being. It's beyond my understanding how he did all that, but he created everything that we see, all the planets, all of this. He created planet Earth, and he created all the things that we're used to. He created the plants and the trees and the rocks and all those things, the pretty birds, all of that. He created all that and he said, you know what, this is good. But then he created these creatures called humans in his very image and likeness. We're like, humans are his image bearers. And he said, when he was done creating us, he didn't just say good. He said, anybody? Very good. Started out great. But God had a plan. Before any of that was created, God already had a plan. So when that very good creation decided to go its own way, our first humans decided we're going to disobey and not listen to what God said, this triggered a massive plan, A plan that may have seemed mysterious, maybe a little scandalous, but it triggered from that day forward a plan where God himself was going to rescue humanity. When we rebelled in our first ancestors, God's plan went into full mode, where he would step in and rescue and save humanity. And that plan culminated, as many of us may have known the story, that plan culminated in he himself, God the Creator, would humble himself and be born, as it were, into the human race. He would put on flesh and be both God and human in one. He would be born in, and he's gonna do the saving himself. And as it started, as some of you know, started off kind of shaky. He was born to a teenage girl who wasn't married yet, to a bewildered Joseph, going, "What's happening right now?" And then his first bed was an animal feed trough, as it were, and his first visitors were a bunch of smelly shepherds. This is how the beginning of this, now that's not expected. And this was the reality. Imagine an all-powerful creator in the form of a vulnerable human boy. It's scandalous, isn't it? It's mysterious. But that plan was something God had all along. This Yeshua bar Joseph of Nazareth, or as we commonly call now, the Greek version of that is Jesus. This little one would grow up in wisdom and stature, and then he would launch a 3-year ministry that changed the world. It was world-altering. We're still talking about it right now, all these years later. And from the writings of those early followers, if you open your Bible to the New Testament section, you start with Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. These are some of his early friends and followers that recorded what they remembered of him. And those are biographies for us, and they tell us lots of things. If you'll read those, I encourage you to do that. You'll see Jesus taught things nobody else taught. He did unbelievable things. He spoke with authority. Like when he said stuff, people just listened. I mean, they were on every word. They were just hanging on every word. And he said that he and the Father were one. That is, he and God are one and the same. In fact, he would even say, before even Abraham was, which is that family line I talked about a few moments ago, before Abraham ever was, I am. Now, that statement may seem harmless right now, but that statement started a trigger effect with all the religious leaders who wanted to kill him for that. And as you might know the story, they got an illegal trial going, and lo and behold, they were able to get him to a cross. But even before that happened, we should have known this is God doing something unexpected. When he rides into Jerusalem for the last time, you would have expected him to be on a war horse, armed to the hilt with armor. And what does Jesus do? What does he have the audacity to do? He rides into Jerusalem on a what? A beast of burden, a donkey. You can't even be more humble than that. God was doing the unexpected. And so he ends up on this cruel Roman cross, killed between two criminals, two traitors, one of the worst possible deaths. And he stunned the world, not least of which were his friends and followers. They were stunned. They could not believe all their hopes. He was checking all the boxes, but he was doing some weird stuff. But still, he was checking all the boxes. He was supposed to be the one. And he was put on a Roman cross. Instead of conquering Rome, it would seem that Rome conquered him. Right? Great life cut short. All of our hopes gone. But then, Sunday morning rolls around. And who's brave among his friends and followers? Was it the dudes? No. The women. Thank you, ladies. You were brave enough to go to that tomb. I'm not sure what their plan was because there was a big rock in the way, but they went to the tomb early that Easter morning, that resurrection day. They went there and they didn't find him. And there were some angels there, which also was pretty crazy, and they said, "You guys, don't you remember that he said, 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead?" And the women went, I do remember you saying that. So they hightail it back to Jerusalem, and they tell the guys. And the guys believe them. No, they didn't believe them. Those brave, they did not believe. So a few of them had to go and check it out. And, well, that checks out. Story checks out. The stage is set. This completely, unequivocally, unexpected situation is going to have a turnaround. And so that sets up the scripture. So if you have a Bible or device, find Luke chapter 24, and I'll have it up here on the screen too. And if you're able to, would you stand with me as we read? Verse 13, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Interesting. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Clopas, answered him and said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, that's what I like to put in there. What, pray tell, what things have happened in Jerusalem? Hint, hint, hint. And they said, well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped, right? We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day. This is still a Sunday. So the third day since all these things have happened. And moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said, this is Jesus now, he said to them, O foolish ones, O slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He put all the pieces together. So they drew near to the village which they were going, and he acted as if he was going farther. That's interesting. But they urged him strongly, saying, well, stay with us, for it's getting to the evening and the day is now spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Oh, man. Would you have loved to have been in that room? He broke it right in front of them. Just seemed like deja vu. He broke it, and when he blessed it and gave it to them, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. That's, I don't know if that's a sound. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? And he opened us up the scriptures to us. And they rose that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, where they were supposed to be. Actually, Jesus told them a few days ago, stay in Jerusalem. They weren't following directions. They hightailed it back to Jerusalem, and they found the 11. They found the other dudes and those who were gathered with them together and the women there, saying, the Lord has indeed risen, and he's appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can have a seat. What an account, right? What a crazy thing. It's weird. He was right there with them, but they couldn't see him. Have you ever been too close to something and you can't quite see it? You know, something's just too close. And so they were that close, but they just couldn't see it. And they were all still caught up in crucifixion. They were still thinking about the crucifixion, and resurrection was right there next to them. Well, Jesus met them where they were. They were in unbelief. They were confused. I think sometimes we find ourselves in that same spot. And isn't it great that Jesus too comes to us where we are? He meets us where we are. And then at the meal, they're sitting down at the meal. Oh my goodness. And as he broke the bread, it's like it's all come flooding back to them. They're like, oh my goodness, all these pieces have now been put together. And he breaks the bread in front of them. And it's like in that moment, His very presence became their provision. It's what Jesus talked about way early on in his ministry. I am the true bread of heaven. You come to me to find life. And here he was, breaking the bread. And so when they realized it was all true and he was alive, they hightail it back to Jerusalem, where they should have been, and told everybody what was going on. Their unbelief in that little village of Emmaus had a full comeback reversal. Full comeback. They were in unbelief. Now they believed because he was alive. I love how, for you and I, Jesus loves you where you were found, but he loves you too much for you to stay there. And these disciples had a job to do. They couldn't stay in Emmaus. They had a job to do, to tell the world the good news. Resurrection means that by faith, you don't have to stay anymore in unbelief town. By faith, you can have all that Jesus intended. God has way bigger plans. Here, Jesus is pulling off a 7-mile miracle for these guys, and we're still talking about it. Do you need a miracle like that in your life? Are you at a spot where you just can't, it's hard to put all the pieces together, like those disciples. They couldn't quite sit, they were maybe too close to it, or they just didn't understand how it all worked together. And Jesus had to open their minds to see it all connected. What do you need from the Lord today? Resurrection was not expected, right? But the unexpected changed everything for the better. That's good news. But I get it. Look, I get it. Let's just be honest in the room. We're all, you know, solid-minded people, I'm just going to assume. This is hard to believe. Resurrection's hard, isn't it? Because here's what we know. Can we just all agree? Horses don't talk. Sorry, Mr. Ed. Horses don't talk. Bunnies don't lay eggs, okay? Bunnies don't lay eggs. Pigs don't fly. And dead people don't recover. You know what I mean? Right? This is the reality of what we know. Yet it was God's plan from the beginning, before we were ever created, to have this plan unravel where there's this death and resurrection, this tragic crucifixion that reversed the curse of sin and death handed to us from those very first humans. Even the enemies of God never saw it coming. Never connected that this Messiah, his death and resurrection, would essentially end the dark powers for good. Now, they're still trying to skirmish us a little bit, especially us who follow Jesus. The enemy is still out there, but his ultimate defeat's already been handed down. And that happened when Jesus rose from the dead. Complete victory. And resurrection launched new creation. It's a call back to Genesis, those first pages of the Bible. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was like resurrection launched new creation. So in Messiah Jesus, we too will have this resurrection. It calls to something the scriptures say that God buried deep within each of us. The scriptures say that eternity is in our hearts. And resurrection, new creation, is calling back to that eternity in our hearts. And I get it. If you're struggling to believe this resurrection business, you should take heart in the fact that those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, you know, heading somewhere they shouldn't have been, they had a tough time figuring it out too. Oftentimes, Jesus would say in his ministry to his followers, "Do you not understand?" And oftentimes they're like, "No." And they were afraid to ask him. So there were times where he had to open up their minds. And maybe that's something that you need from God today. That God would open your mind and your heart to not just hear, but begin to put the pieces together. That this is exactly what we should expect from our God. See, resurrection wasn't even on their radar. Wasn't even a possibility. So my point is, you can find some common ground with those early followers as they were trying to put all the pieces together. Pray that God would open your mind and heart to this truth. And maybe then we could amend the statement we said earlier, right? Although some of the stuff's still true. Horses don't talk. Bunnies don't lay eggs. Pigs don't fly. But for one, he did rise from the dead and changed everything. And maybe God, who specializes in the unexpected, wants to do that for you today. Something that he wants to do in your life, something unexpected. And I believe we can start to ask him for faith, ask him for a miracle, Pour your heart out to him. Expect Jesus to change everything in your life, starting today. The writers of the New Testament said, look, this saving business doesn't happen without Messiah Jesus, because no one else has conquered death. No one else has done it. And he wants to do a work of new creation in your heart and my heart. So here's my only point today. Let resurrection remake you. Let resurrection remake you. Resurrection changes everything. As one scholar wrote, in an instant, a cosmic metamorphosis took place. Condemnation canceled and the sting of death healed. Death was swallowed up in victory. And now by faith, everyone who believes in Messiah Jesus receives victory and is instantly justified, transformed from bondage to freedom, from darkness to light, from sin to righteousness, and death to life. When we trust in God, the Father brings us to his Son, binds us together in his death, and also united with him in resurrection. That's good news. Let resurrection remake you. It's like this dynamic, ongoing transformation that happens with our new identity in Messiah Jesus. Resurrection is the new way forward. It's the true way to be human. It's who God always intended for you to be, the true humanity. Resurrection proclaims eternal life, both now and not yet. So let resurrection remake you today. Become that person God always intended for you to be, someone who naturally loves the least of these. If you let resurrection remake you, it's choosing love over hate, generosity over greed, mercy over revenge, humility over arrogance, truth over lies. I don't know where you're at today, but there's a few decisions that I want to put out there. First one is this. Maybe you've never said yes to this King Jesus. You've never made him Lord of your life. This resurrection business is kind of new to you. Well, hey, today, by faith, your resurrection can start today. Your new creation can start right now. So I encourage you to find me, anybody on stage. Some of our elders are here. They're back here. They're wearing a little lanyard that says, can I pray with you? And so I would encourage you, if that's your decision, make it today. Maybe you're in a different category where you've been following Jesus for a while. You would call yourself a Christian, but you feel stuck. You're just kind of spinning your wheels. You're not growing. Well, we want to get you in a discipleship relationship where you can actually begin to learn the ways of Jesus and put them into practice so that you can teach someone else too. So maybe that's you today, and come talk to us about that. You want to be in that discipleship relationship. Here's the third thing. Maybe you're sitting there today and you're like, I know all this, Ben. Like, this, you're just a review for me. Yeah, yada, yada, I got it. If you, that was perfect, actually. That was awesome. If you consider yourself a mature follower of Jesus, let me just challenge you. You need to be discipling others. It doesn't mean you're perfect. that's not going to happen on this side of life. But look, if you're a mature follower of Jesus, you know the teachings, you need to be teaching someone else. And I'm guessing that God already has people in your life that are waiting for that. So if that's you, that's that third category this morning, you need to be making disciples. We need to help you do that. And here's the last thing. All that said, maybe you just need someone to pray with you today. And if that's the case, we've got some elders down here. Jeff, raise your hand right there. We got Mike Kirkland back here. Anybody on stage, we'd love to pray with you. David's here in the front row. Yeah, whatever your decision is, make it today. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love and faithfulness, your mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank you for resurrection. And Father, I pray that each person in this room would be encouraged today and challenged to let resurrection remake us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.